Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. Big news. Unexpected that Ant Group's IPO has been suspended. What does this mean for the Hong Kong dollar and capital markets in Hong Kong? We're going to find out. JP Morgan predicts the bull market rally will continue after the election with nearly 50% upside still left over for the long term. In the midst of a volatile US election, in case the stock market falls though, how can you protect yourself? What are some effective hedges? And is gold a winner regardless of who wins? Also, David Roche, he's president and global strategist at Independent Strategy. He said that the Chinese yuan has a long way to go before it comes anywhere close to challenging the US dollar's status as a reserve currency. We'll unpack what that means. And of course, also big news locally, Singapore's banks reporting earnings this week. The latest headline, UOB posting a 40% drop in net profit for the third quarter. So a lot to get through in terms of comments from Jacob Du, Chief Investment Officer at Envision Wealth Management. Good morning, Jacob. Busy morning for you so far?
Good morning, Michelle. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah,
great. I've been watching the US elections right now.
Yeah, as we are, absolutely. Let's start with big news for what would have been the world's biggest IPO, Ant Group. Its IPO hopes have been dashed because China's put the brakes on it. The Shanghai Stock Exchange saying there was significant change in the regulatory environment and that such major issues could lead to the company no longer complying with requirements on listing or information disclosure. Now, the Ant Group has apologized for the suspension of its IPO on both exchanges, Shanghai and Hong Kong, and said that it will work through the regulatory concerns with both stock exchanges. So, Jacob, your initial comments, your reaction to the news?
Well, it's definitely a shocker, as in like last night itself when it came about, it was about suspension, because generally for any IPO to take place, the discussion would have started 6 to 9 months ago. So which means that regulator would have kept informed before they actually give them the go-ahead. And it's surprising for a Chinese government to come in at the last minute to decide that I'm going to suspend, you know, the IPO. So I guess the primary reason behind is that because a month ago when Jack Ma criticized the Chinese banking system, it's just the banking itself does not have any problem. It's the system itself that has a problem. Mm. And that perhaps triggered further scrutiny. And I believe it was time to show the Jack Ma that not to undermine the Chinese government efforts in this area. And on the back of that, even on Monday itself, the CIRC came out with a new draft regulations on microfinance. And this actually impacted Ant Financial, because what they're requiring right now is that they will need all these units to reapply for nationwide licenses, which Ant Financial has not done it. So which means, given the fact that the new regulation has come on board and given the Chinese government coming on to make sure that, you know, firstly, that I want to put a cap on what's going to happen here. First, which means that if you look at these kind of stringent requirements that's imposed by the Chinese government, now they are requiring the companies to start posting regulatory capital. So which means potentially it's going to move along like the banking line, like the CET1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be pretty punitive for Ant Financial. The second thing is that they are going to impose also a cap on the loan rates and limits on Ant's use of its asset-backed securities to fund quick consumer loans. Now, so given all these new regulation, the impact will be the investment enthusiasm definitely will diminish, right? The investors who have allocated the shares will be looking to sell out if that's even possible. Now, the problem is that no one knows how long this regulatory wrangle is going to last. And I will not be surprised that some shareholders will demand a return of their money. So it's going to be very difficult right now to meet the regulatory requirement and to apply for licenses nationwide. That will take quite a long time, which means that potentially you're seeing a delay into next year. So the larger impact, I would say, is that, on the rich in China, they will probably hasten their exit from the mainland, because then you'll find that increasingly a lot of things that you're going to do is going to be very difficult. So what's the impact on the capital markets in China? Mm. Well, I do not think that's going to badly affect the conditions for listing, because the fact is that in the stock market it's been very, very investor friendly, and even very, I would say, it supports a lot of companies to list on the stock market. And given the Chinese companies, there's not really much choice. You know, they can't choose to go to U.S. You know, otherwise they're going to be subject to all the scrutiny from the U.S. authorities and falsely accused of whatever they're doing. And therefore, you know, it's better for them to list on the stock market. As for the Hong Kong dollars, I would say that
weaken sharply overnight.
It will weaken definitely for now. But I wouldn't think it's just a temporary blip for now. And after that, it will remain stable.
Because, you know, this IPO has put so much demand, drawn so much demand for the Hong Kong dollar. It actually forced the central bank to inject liquidity. So you don't see the impact on the Hong Kong dollar being long term.
Well, the fact is that there are much more bigger companies, and there'll be a lot more IPOs coming on board. So on a temporary basis, the fact that investors have been pumping in money in order to buy this IPO, for now, definitely they will withdraw that interest for a while. But going forward, if you look at the bigger scheme of things, with the future IPO coming on board, the Hong Kong dollars probably will stabilize for a while after this weakening. And the entire cycle comes back again, because then everybody will be looking at what's the next IPO that potentially will not get into such a trouble itself.
Okay.
And if you can see exactly the lineup within the stock market, it's pretty interesting of the new Chinese companies that's coming to IPO itself.
All right, but what happens to investors in Ant who had been allocated their shares, the grey market, so to speak? They were trading at as much as 50% of premium. What happens now with the suspension of the IPO on both exchanges?
Well, I'm afraid to say that they probably have to suffer losses on the back of that, because, you know, with the growing uncertainty and with the new capital requirement, the impact on Ant's financial revenue figures and even on the capital they need to set aside is going to be tremendous. And the fact is that right now, with the cap on the use of the asset-backed securities, again, it's going to be very difficult for Ant Financial to look for another source of funding. So which means that they will not be able to provide consumer loans at very competitive rates, which means they will come close to what the banks are offering. And that in itself will impact its future revenue. So I would say that given the valuation right now, it's just going to come down.
And what does this mean for Ant moving ahead? It's been hit with a wave of fresh rules. China is seeking to tighten control clearly over online lenders and companies that operate multiple financial business lines. So what does this mean for Ant's business model moving ahead?
Well, moving ahead itself, the fact is that they're going to discuss with the banks exactly how they can use their platform to offer those loans. And given right now where the central government has not been very clear on how the new regulation is going to impact the banks is using that platform, which means the banks themselves are going to hold back and will see exactly and get greater clarity from the central government. And Financial will have to relook exactly at the model to see exactly how they could provide those loans, unlike in the past where there's no limits, now there's a cap. The resource and the cost will be driven up for sure, and the business model will change tremendously. And the fact is that because the government right now requires, the CIRC requires them to get the provisional government's approval, and the scrutiny will be done at the provisional government level as well. So now you have two layers of scrutiny in everything that they do. Mm. That will drive up the compliance costs.
Do you think this is going to crimp financial innovation in China?
Well, to a certain extent, it will. I mean, the fact is that like I said, Jack Ma shouldn't have made that kind of statement. But
don't criticize China's state-owned banks. Don't say big banks have a pawn shop mentality. I mean, he was so close to the finish line. Just 48 hours away. Oh, my goodness. But there'll always be a balance, I suppose, between encouraging innovation and, regulatory safety in the financial sector, right?
It will. It definitely will. Yeah. The fact is that China is actually pushing right ahead. If you look at the Chinese plenum, where the prior plan, the intention for the Chinese government is to decouple from U.S. Therefore, they will do everything that they can in order to make sure that, one, in terms of the AI application, in terms of smart cities, in terms of everything that's being done right now, they will relook at every process and see how they can actually apply the AI to automate a lot of processes they're doing right now and make it much more efficient than what the world has seen.
Great insight. He's Jacob Du, Chief Investment Officer at Envision Wealth Management, who I've invited on today. All right, all eyes are on the U.S. elections this morning as polls close. Now, J.P. Morgan, in a note to investors, says that the stock market is poised to resume its bull market rally after the election. J.P. Morgan calling for nearly 50% upside, still left to climb over the long term. What do you think, Jacob?
Well, I would say that the basis for such a claim is because regardless of who wins, they're expecting fiscal stimulus to be passed. Mm. Right? The only difference is that would be the magnitude of the stimulus. The Democrats favor an expansionary stimulus, whereas the Republicans prefer a smaller scale stimulus. So, you know, of course, the preference for us will be either, you know, you have a clear result, which means either you have a blue wave or you have a red wave. If you're going to have a disputed outcome, then there's a prolonged determination, and this will cause policy paralysis. And the stock market definitely will fall, because then, you know, you're not going to have any fiscal stimulus, and there's no visibility. You can't use monetary policy anymore at the current level. So it's going to be very tough for anyone to see any visibility or exactly how the business is going to be supported and helped. So on an individual basis, of course, I mean, if Biden wins, they will mean a lower volatility and more stable market, because the he doesn't want to have all these mavericks to drive the market and speculation. So this will provide clearer visibility for businesses in general, but it's not so good for banks and the financial market players. The challenge for Biden and the Federal Reserve will be how they could manage the huge deficit and vast debt levels that has been building up to support the economy so far. Increasing tax will only solve part of the problem, but unwinding the program will come with even greater difficulty, but it's necessary. Right. The concern is where the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve will have the gumption to even do what's right and necessary. I mean, as an overview of what to expect from Biden if Biden wins, well, the market can expect tighter regulation agenda for some of the sectors. Like, for example, the expansion of the Affordable Care Act, then this will be good for the health insurance and pharmaceuticals. Sustainability sector, where you see increased regulatory oversight on energy infrastructure projects, then in a sense, it will support for renewables. And that's good for the energy sector, but the reversal of the U.S. banking deregulation, that itself will not be good for the banks. But a Trump win, that will create more volatility, devaluation of U.S. assets, and a further weakening of the U.S. dollars over the longer term.
Okay, speaking of volatility, even before the results were announced, we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average falling 10% from its recent peak. Shares of Apple fell 5% recently. Amazon, Facebook also saw their stock prices tumbling in a single trading session, about 5.5 to 5.9%. So I guess a question on investors' minds is, with volatility expected moving ahead, how does one profit if the U.S. stock market falls?
Well, there are several ways. When the market falls, volatility tends to increase. So there are several alternatives to take advantage of the higher volatility. One can buy equity options and all belong with the VIX futures contracts, or invest in a VIX ETF where it's a long strategy. But the problem is that, the market has been buying put options for the last 2 months and the premium has been relatively high now. So this signals that the market is cautiously bullish, while at the same time is preparing for a possible market fall. The other thing is, to be long VIX futures, a client will need to be sophisticated enough because such a product is not commonly made available to retail investors. For retail investors, may consider the CFD, which is contract for differences. But then again, that is a margin trading, highly leveraged kind of product. And if the investor truly understands it, then it works well, but otherwise it's going to be very dangerous for anyone who wants to take the kind of leverage. And also, CFDs are not commonly available for every equities they're looking at. So it depends exactly on the product provider. Then for expert investors, they will need to be mindful of the roll cost on VIX futures, because it will eat into the gains. Mm-hmm. So that hence, for VIX ETF, it generally suffers the cost of rolling over the futures contract from one tenant to another. So, and as such, the approach is to hold the position short time, which is about 1 month.
excellent insight. Jacob Du is from Envision Wealth Management. Will gold be a winner no matter who wins in the U.S. election? I mean, back to your point about sizable fiscal stimulus program. And if that it does happen, then regardless of the winner at the elections, do you think the gold market miners, even the gold itself, fiscal gold, is set to benefit?
Well, on a temporary basis, given the uncertainty right now, everybody's just waiting for the election results, the gold will be supported, but I doubt it's going to be going up very high from here. It tested 2,000 before. It's seeing around 1,900 level. The fact is that unless the U.S. has come out with a different approach in how they manage the finances, otherwise, I would say that if Trump wins, and the Federal Reserve and basically U.S. continues its current trajectory, I would expect gold to be continued supporting and moving higher from here. But if Biden wins, then there's a different story because then it becomes a more level-headed approach in how they want to manage the U.S. economy and the finances. Mm-hmm. Then in that sense, there'll be more incentive for people to buy U.S. assets and, you know, dump gold.
Mm, makes sense. All right, let's turn our attention to local news. The top three lenders banks in Singapore are scheduled to release their third quarter financial results this week. Analysts are expecting more hits to earnings from sustained low interest rates globally and the pandemic-induced economic recession. So we saw the recent headline, UOB posting a 40% drop in net profit for its third quarter because of preemptive building up of credit allowances. Refinitiv expecting DBS and UOB to experience the biggest fall. It is expecting DBS, to report the smallest decline in net income and UOB to experience the biggest fall. What are you expecting?
Well, given exactly what's happened so far from the, you know, the first quarter, second quarter, and the third quarter, three quarters already, on a year-on-year basis, I would expect all the three local banks' revenue and even the net income to fall. The fall for UOB is going to be much more sizable. In fact, going to the this morning figure itself, the market was expecting a negative 45% down, but it came in at 40%. For OCBC, you're looking at approximately 23% down and even a decrease for DBS of approximately 20 to 24%. So that's market expectation. Now, the net profits definitely will decrease across the board on a year-on-year basis because of the low interest rate environment, but net interest margin should stabilize from now on and may have bottomed. Loan growth will be muted, but the credit costs will also stabilize because local banks have front-loaded the loss provisions in the first half of this year. So the year will end in a black for the three banks, no doubt, but there will be a decrease in the earnings per share, and the net income will be more pronounced. So with economic activity still lackluster, the recovery earnings will be slow. So this means that the share price of the three banks will continue to trade in a range for the rest of the year, obviously with a bias towards the upside into next year.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much, Jacob, for joining us this morning. Jacob Du is Chief Investment Officer at Envision Wealth Management. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you, Michelle.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.